intended for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Yeah, that's right, Anderson. I'm the man. Yeah, oh yeah. Hey, Drew, you know what I'm this close to doing, buddy?
You couldn't be dropping trout.
Dropping trout. Hell yeah. This close to dropping trout, everybody. Woo! Oh, man. I'll tell you, Drew. You know the other thing I like when they do on morning shows? One guy starts talking and the other guy talks about how crazy he is. Oh, man. Don't say it. Oh, you're a madman. Oh, man. You're going to get us thrown off the air. You're out of control, brother.
Hold me back.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, Drew, you are loose cannon, man. We're going to march right up the hall and right into the program director's office, man. You're going to chew us a new a-hole. And you know what I'll have to do so we can get to my a-hole? Drop trout. Yeah, don't think I won't either. Woo! We got a big show coming up for you tonight. We got nobody. Yeah. We got a bunch of stone 15-year-old callers. Yeah. Don't worry. Dr. Drew's going to find out where they were molested. Woo-hoo-hoo. See if their dad made them drop trout when they were younger. Tell you what now. Yeah, girls are going to cry. That's right. Adam's going to make the same jokes like dropping trout.
That's right. My show. There you go.
What?
There you go.
Hold on. All that, I took up a minute and 42 seconds. That's it?
That's the show.
Jesus Christ. What are we going to do? I'll tell you, I ran a red light about 3 weeks ago in my car. And out here in L.A., we got the cameras at the intersections, you know?
They're these automated devices that catch you mm-hmm. in the act.
Mm-hmm. Two flashes. I don't know what the two flashes are for. Maybe the one... It's not front and back. No.
They don't want to see your pupil, the red light, come back through your pupils.
I hope it's not front and back. It's just front and front. It's like one means, you passed it. You triggered it, and the next one's a picture. I'm not exactly sure. If someone knows what the two flashes are, tell me. I saw two, but not front and back, front and front. Huh. And this, by the way, is why I don't wear a front license plate. Oh, yes.
Oh, you're wild, man.
Yeah. You want to know why?
You're dangerous.
Because I don't get the tickets. Huh. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't be talking about this, but...
You can get a ticket for that, though.
You can get a ticket from that, but that's $25, and that's just a fix-it ticket. It's not a $250.
Oh, is that what
it doesn't go on your record either.
Running red light is $250.
Sorry about that, but yeah, it's like $200 and change, and it goes on your record.
Wow!
But you don't have that front license plate; they don't know who you are. So that's the good news.
Good times.
Oh yeah, I'm like a modern day Jesse James, except for instead of a horse, I use a mule. You thought I was going to say car, right?
Car without front plate, yeah.
Yeah. Jessica? You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I heard through friends that if a girl ate fruit with citrus in it, mm-hmm. that guys can taste it when they're eating her out or something.
Well, you know what's funny, Drew? Mm. We haven't heard the term eating out too often on this show, and as I told you
yes.
a couple days back, I announced to my buddies at work that I found eating out second only to finger bang on the sort of ugly sounding scale.
Yes.
Started the last two shows with an eating out question. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, why is it when you announce that? I mean, really, we did two out of the last three shows started with an eating out question.
And that's a term we hadn't heard in a month.
Right.
That's easy.
Right. And it's somehow me bringing it up at the crank yanker office somehow cosmically spawned the eating out discussion.
Jeez.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, it's crazy.
All right. Well,
I don't know what that is, but
it's not nutty cuckoo crazy, but it's a little crazy. All right, so citrus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Acid, Drew?
Jessica, I don't know of anything that really changes things significantly that anybody would notice.
Well, why wouldn't it? A little bit.
I guess a little bit. We all agree there are certain things that make various secretions worse. You know, we can make our breath worse with onions and with garlic and things like that. And so other orifices, I imagine, can be affected by some things. But making them better, you can't make your breath better. You know?
All right, but let me ask you this, Drew. Your body, I'm just making this up, but your body has some kind of balance between acids and certain vitamins and minerals and I don't know, carbohydrates and what have you in it. Like, if you overload it with one of them, doesn't it kind of throw off the flora and fauna in there? Screw things up a little. You get diarrhea. Like, you eat 100 apricots, you get diarrhea.
Yeah.
You eat too much of one, eat 100 donuts. You know, you eat 100 of anything. It throws things off.
Yeah. But you're talking about...
All right.
Yeah, changing what comes out of what's secreted as opposed to...
Yeah, listen, that was retarded. Don't listen to me. Jessica?
Yeah. Is there a better way of saying it than eating out? Because
oral sex.
You got oral sex.
Oral sex. Okay.
You got going down on somebody.
Okay. Even that's kind of.
You're 19 years old. You haven't. You don't say a guy went down on me.
Oh yeah, I do. Okay.
Okay, baby.
Okay.
Hey, good times, right?
Thank you. You guys rock.
All right, Jessica.
There's a better way to say it than eating out. Now there's no other way to say it. Like Drew. As a doctor, if you're consulting a patient and you're talking about using, let's say, a dental dam, you'd say this product was conceived in the lab, tested in the colleges and the university, specifically for eating out.
Yes, for eating out your partner.
Right, that's how you'd say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Shanti?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, me and my boyfriend have been dating for probably about 4 months, and I have tried numerous times to try and spice up our sex life with toys, movies, everything, and it's not working.
He's not going for the movies?
Anything.
Really?
Really.
You've been dating how long?
About 4 months.
Now, what do you mean he's not going for the movies?
Hey, what is he,
while he's watching a movie?
Yeah, I mean, well... have sex either during or after, but it's just not
How old is he?
He's only 26.
Is he on medication?
Not that I know of.
Why? You're 20, right?
Right.
Why do you say only 26?
Because typically I do date older guys, but and with my experience around 25, 26, they're ready, they're raring to go, they want sex all the time.
What do you mean your average guy's how old that you date? Like, have you dated guys that were 35?
In the past, yeah.
And when you were 19?
No.
How old?
Well, before him, my boyfriend was 34.
So, 4 months ago.
You're 20 now. How far away is 19?
My birthday is next month.
So you'll be 21?
Yeah.
All right, so you're 30, and you're 20, you're dating a guy who's 34.
And those guys are not as rare to go.
Any dad issues?
No.
Where's your dad?
My dad's been there my entire life. My parents are still together, high school sweethearts.
That's your biological dad.
Biological dad, all right. You love him, he's a good guy?
Well, I was adopted, he's not my biological.
God damn, it's tough being right every goddamn time on this show, Drew.
Every time.
I just said that's it. I'll never admit I'm wrong about anything ever. Even if I bet, you know, that's what I do. When I bet football games on Sundays, and I take Oakland and the points, and Oakland gets blown out by six touchdowns.
Refuse to believe it.
No, I have to be right. Look at the score again. Is that Rich Gannon's biological? Is he the biological quarterback of this team?
Here you go. Conspiracy.
Yeah, I will not
pay.
I will not pay.
Stage it.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, so we're talking to her.
All right, so anyway, be that as it may. How old were you when you were adopted?
When I was first born.
Immediately after birth?
Immediately, yeah.
Okay. Mm. All right, and, and 20 and 34 is not that big a difference.
No. She usually dates older guys.
But what is the experience like with this guy that's so... Nothing. What's missing?
I mean, I want it more.
Yeah. More frequently?
You know, I could every day.
Well, how often is he good for?
On our average, maybe 3 times a month. 4 times a month.
So once a week.
Little light for a 26-year-old guy.
And 4 months into a relationship.
Yeah. He should be trying to knock your lights out at that point with his penis.
Is he a normal guy, healthy guy?
Yeah.
Not doing drugs or alcohol?
No.
You don't intimidate him at all?
I hope not.
Well, I mean, does he know you used to date? You know, it's not like 26-year-old guys, you don't get the career on track, you're not making a ton of money, and your last boyfriend made some money, had a career. You know what I mean?
Well, actually, he's doing better than my ex.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Maybe maybe this just isn't a good match.
I mean, we're like perfect everywhere else. It's just, because I had more experience, or?
You think you're being insecure a little bit? Like, maybe this is just his rhythm, his style, his cadence.
I guess it's possible. I don't know.
She's not satisfied with it, though.
You have an orgasm?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, well.
No.
Not during sex, no.
But when do you have one? Later in the tub?
Well, he usually finishes, and then.
And then what?
Then what?
And then helps me finish.
How?
With his fingers.
Oh, with his fingers. Oral sex, huh?
Not yet.
What?
Now we're getting somewhere. He's not done this yet?
Not yet.
Oh, there's anger here. What's up? Gay?
I don't know. Oh, don't say that.
Black?
No.
Well, I'm stumped.
Medication?
Not that I know of.
Will not go down on you, huh?
Mm-mm.
Have you asked him?
Many times.
Ooh, what does he say?
I'll do it next time.
All right.
You get forget.
This ain't gonna work.
Get rid
of him.
Yeah, he's not willing. Really,
he's not making an effort.
Yeah, he's got to be willing to do to compromise and do things he might not necessarily want to do because you want him to. That's fine. You asked for that. He's just step up to the plate and deliver. That's all.
Yes,
that's all right. Not working.
Something's up.
With him. Yeah, something's fishy. There's more to be revealed about this guy, I guarantee you.
He doesn't want to, he just says, like, no, not this time, or no thanks.
Oh, no.
Listen, let me tell you something sexually. As a dude, you can't really say no to stuff.
You mean...
From an etiquette standpoint.
And still withhold the male code of honor?
Yeah, you just can't say no, like if somebody asks you to go down on him.
What kind of wants to say no to stuff? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, there's certain stuff.
I admittedly, but
yeah,
most guys 3 months in a relationship, mid-20s.
I like when people do that. No. Kelly.
Yes.
No.
What's up, Kelly?
I've been dating a guy for 5 months now, and I lost contact with him whenever he went into rehab, long-term residential rehab.
You've been dating him how long?
Like 5 months.
And how long has he been in treatment?
He's been in treatment for the past 2.
So you were with him when he was using?
He was trying really, really hard to quit. I live in a different town from him.
Right, but he was using. What was he using?
Pain pills mainly.
All right, so he's an opiate addict, and he was using, and then he went into treatment.
Yeah.
And what's the question?
Whenever he went into treatment, I didn't hear from him for like 2 months because I guess he wasn't able.
This is what I'm trying to figure out. What do you mean whenever he went into treatment?
He went in at first for detox, and then he got out, and he comes running to me, and he's all crying, and I'm there for him. I'm his shoulder to cry on.
No, that's not the way you handle this.
Well,
wait, that's enabling his opiate addiction.
Well, he didn't do. He didn't use whenever he was around me. It was always whenever he went away from me. But anyway, during this 2 months that I didn't hear from him, I started talking to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And this someone else has been out of town for like the past 3 weeks.
Right.
And we've been corresponding through letters because we believe that people really...
I don't forget the philosophy part.
Kelly, whatever you think, it's not going to be particularly healthy. I mean, you've been with an opiate addict, and you're defending the way you
manage that. She got a new guy, right?
Yeah, but he's going to be an alcoholic.
You correspond through letters.
Well, this guy sent me a letter proposing to me, a really weird way to propose, but I guess it's thought that counts.
We'll hear right. about it.
But anyway, and this guy is a good guy. His dad is a preacher, and he's a good guy. He's an electrician. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't drink.
All right, but you're not attracted to him.
Did he at one time?
No, it's not that. He's a sweet guy. I'm confused because
he's
don't
a sweet.
Knock a man while he's down.
No,
I'm not going to do that. And I care about this guy I've been dating.
All right, hold on a second. Did just this new guy used to do drugs or alcohol?
No.
Never.
No, he may have, drink socially, have a few beers, but he doesn't.
All right, here's the deal. What I don't understand is why, if your boyfriend does not want you in his life in a real way, why hasn't he included you in the treatment that he's going through?
He has. He has. I am. Right. I talk to his family and stuff.
No. It's not. You've got to go do the work, go to Al-Anon, get a sponsor, work the steps. If you continue to grow alongside of him while he's growing in his program of recovery, then you could be a healthy choice for him when he gets out.
Yeah, I've done a lot of research myself. It's just...
Kelly?
I'm scared of it.
Kelly, shut up. What you with? Don't get all sanctimonious on her.
I'm not going to say... Listen.
She's not listening, so what?
Why do I bother talking? Now, listen.
All right.
Listen.
Kelly.
Yes.
I know Drew makes a point. He wants you to do the work, but I can't figure out if you want to do the work with the old guy or you're interested in the new guy.
I care about the old guy because, for one... No, I do. I do. I really do. He's sick.
I want you to say, what guy do you want? The old guy or the new guy?
The new guy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The new guy.
What do you do? You work customer service?
Yeah, I can't hurt the old guy.
Okay, you want the new guy. All right, then that's it.
Then that's fine. You are not good for the old guy unless you are doing work.
Okay.
You will lead to him using opiates again, guaranteed, unless you are working on your own program of recovery to match up with him when he gets out.
Hook up with the new guy.
New guy.
And have the new guy write the old guy a letter, or you write him a letter,
But could that lead to him going back to using whenever he comes out?
No, if he comes out...
It's not your fault.
Your being with him will make him use again unless you work a program of recovery. I know that is something you can't quite put your head around. That's how it works.
Well, I've never been addicted to anything.
Kelly, you're a codependent. You've been, let me just take a second on this. When somebody is in a relationship with an addict, they fit with that person the way a key fits into a lock. When they go into treatment, that person will change. They need to change rather dramatically. If they try then to get back together with a person that has not changed, that they were with when they were using, the person who they had been with in the past will push them emotionally back to where they were when they were using and will be the source of a relapse for them. So unless you do work, you will be part of his problem when he comes out.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So even though I'm not an addict, I need
it. You're a codependent. You were in a relationship with him when he was using.
Hold on, Drew. She's not an addict.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with your using at all.
Kelly, you don't have any kids, do you?
No,
I don't know why you had to. I mean, I smelled that on you. Why? I thought you'd been with this. Is it this guy's kid?
No.
Of course not.
It's okay. Abusive relationship.
Yeah, another.
All right. What happened? What your
dad
daddy?
Was an alcoholic abuser.
My dad.
Yeah.
I can't really call my dad that. He goes out and parties every night. I stayed at home and took care of my dad.
All right. Well, that's
call that an alcoholic.
Yeah, he needs.
You don't want to call him an alcoholic, but he goes out and parties every night.
He doesn't admit to it, and I can't.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
All right. Listen. No more goddamn kids, please. No more kids, please.
You know, you need Al-Anon worse than anybody I've ever heard. Period. Go do it.
I'd like Kelly to represent me if I was ever arrested for anything. It's like, is your dad an alcoholic? I can't say that. I can't say that. He drinks every night. I can't say that. I'd have to take care of him. I can't say that. He parties every night. I can't say that.
But he never called himself an alcoholic. Therefore,
he never called himself an alcoholic. Oh, baby, take care of that kid. No more kids. Please, no more kids. Oh, imagine that's your mama. Mary?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I dated a guy for about 4.5 years, and we were pretty serious, and we ended it. He doesn't live here anymore, and had several serious relationships, but it always comes back to him. Like, I just cannot move on. It's been 2 years, and I just don't feel that that's really normal.
But how long has it been ended for?
2 years.
Two years it's been ended for.
It was on for how long?
4.5.
And it wasn't on and off at all in the last 2 years?
Well, we talk, and if he comes to town, we'll, like, stay together.
You have sex?
Yeah.
That's code for that, Adam.
Well, yeah, I don't... That's sort of like be together. That stay together is kind of weird. But, well, how often does he come to town, and how often do you talk?
We talk every, like, 3 or 4 months, and he comes to town, like, maybe once a year.
So you've just seen him twice in 2 years since you've broken up.
Right.
And you only talk a few times a year.
Yeah.
And how come you... What's stopping you from sort of calling him and pleading your case?
Having a relationship again.
Well, he's living with his girlfriend right now.
All right, so stop seeing this guy. Cut it off. Don't. This is an addictive relationship.
He's cheating on his girlfriend when he comes over?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I just feel like I can't stop talking to him. I mean, everybody
Hold on. You see the guy twice a year. I mean, let's replace this.
It's not planned. It's not like I know he's going to be here. It's just like, bam, he's here.
Okay, hold on a second. What's up with everyone, the crazy, like, non sequitur defense that everyone's running tonight? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm trying to make the point. Like, she's like, I'm obsessed with the guy. I can't stop thinking about it. I'm like, well, you only see the guy twice a year. Now, we don't plan it. It's like, okay, honey, can I make my goddamn point? I'm saying, what if you said, I'm an alcoholic. I can't stop the booze. How often do you drink? Twice a year. You know, I'm into heroin. I can't stop it. I can't give up the rig. I got to chase the dragon twice a year.
But if each time you did it, you got a DUI or developed hepatitis each time, you know, something horrible happened.
Well, how many
each time
are you going to get hepatitis?
Or whatever.
You got the B and the C. Okay.
You get something.
Okay,
awful.
But I know, and I understand that. And I understand she's thinking about the guy a lot and everything. But twice a year and sort of, you know, he's calling her once every 3 months. I don't call it obsessive. I mean, it's. I understand how women can do this. They can be passive obsessive, mm-hmm. whereas guys got to do stuff. Mm-hmm. Guys get drunk. I'm heading over there, getting in the bushes, going to park outside the house. You know, I'm going on a recon mission.
God.
I got buddies over there. I got to get them out. You know, we do stuff.
I know.
Women.
But again, this.
No, women would never. Women are good with their kids, but that's about it.
You know we can pull stuff like this off is people with eating disorder.
Mm. Mary.
Yes.
Eating disorder?
No.
Never?
Mm. Well, I had for a while.
Yeah. No! Drew, you can never, ever be wrong.
Never.
You can never be wrong.
See, this is part of that syndrome where the people with the hoarding, the eating, the bulimia, it spills over into relationships and sex. And they can carry this stuff out for long periods of time. It's very obsessive. And they get the addictive quality in this is in the deprivation. They actually, the deprivation they feel is like it's gratifying them in some way. Yeah. It's just like the anorexia is gratifying. And this is what that is. This is an addictive relationship, not because of the compulsive element, but the deprivation you put yourself through.
Okay.
It's time to stop, Mary. Time to stop.
Can you do that, Mary?
I guess so.
This is part of the eating disorder syndrome.
You know, our listeners would be great. Actually, they'd be the world's worst guests on one of those psychic TV shows. Really.
I know. Yeah.
Your dad's dad.
If the psychic TV shows had our guests, they would never be able to
prove
anything.
They'd be canceled immediately. Yeah. It'd be like this. Your deceased father, his name was Robert. I'm getting an R. Robert. Was his name Robert? I'm getting, nope. We called him Bob. I mean, it said Robert on his driver's license, but yeah, we called him Bob. They'd go off the air. You're right. They'd all immediately go off the air.
We crack them.
All right. Well, you know, God bless them. Most of the people that call this show when Drew makes the eating disorder allegation, they're not being overtly deceptive, because if they're overtly deceptive, they stick with it.
Yeah, no, it's psychological.
Like, do you have an eating disorder? No.
It's denial.
No eating disorder? No. Didn't used to have it? Oh, yeah.
That's you know, I'm used to working with that with denial of patients. You know,
right.
It happens a lot.
Well, by the way, and we talk about this from time to time. That's why we bang away a little bit. Sometimes people accuse us. Like, here, a lot of people say this about the show. Oh, well, Drew thinks everyone has an eating disorder. Drew thinks everyone is sexually abused. And then what he does is he keeps banging away on them until eventually they just say yes to shut him up so we can move on. And that's true 85% of the time, yeah. But there is a 15% where Drew feels something or I feel something, and it's weird to feel something. You become like a mechanic who knows what's wrong with a car, but the symptoms aren't working. Like, you know there's an alignment problem, and you go, doesn't start shimmying on the freeway like at high speeds? No. And you go, wow, really? Seems like...
Really? Never really? Yeah, no. Except when it shimmies on the freeway, which is...
Yeah, but like the mechanic would keep banging away if he was almost sure this was the problem.
Yeah.
This is what Drew does. He bangs away. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Yeah, this is my song. I want you all picture me walking in slow motion, leather jacket slung over my shoulder.
Shades.
Wraparound shades.
I haven't heard your song in a long time.
Whipping off the shades in slow motion, checking out some hot chicks at the bar.
Oh, and here's the hot chicks look back, and they see.
It's gone.
To warn us about that.
Drew, you ever ask Anderson to do anything that he comes through with?
Dickhead, I always do.
No, Anderson does fine on his own. Let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
Have you ever looked through the glass and asked producer Ann a question and had her answer you?
You mean when I'm, yeah.
Have you ever cued engineer Anderson to play something and had him play it? Have you ever gotten an answer to any question
on
this show?
I have, but when it really goes bad is when I get the necessary build-up. And then, no.
Yes. Okay.
I'm sorry, I erased it because it got played out. We did it too much.
All right, buddy.
Sorry.
Anderson making executive-type decisions on this show.
Sarah? Do you know Anderson came and worked on this show? He does not have any engineering training. Came to work on this show because...
All right, can we just go to Sarah? Come on.
Wait a minute. This is interesting.
Yeah.
Because he liked this show.
Oh, really?
He came here.
This show?
He didn't seem to like this show when he got here. Oh,
Pharrell.
I liked Pharrell. I knew I was curious. I knew he didn't like this show.
But they came over here because he liked this show, too.
No. Now he likes every show.
He used to like this show.
Anderson came to work here at Westwood 2, or Westwood None, as we like to call it, and... came to work for Scott Farrell's sports show.
Because he met him in a bar.
I met him in a, like, talking hockey.
Yeah.
And just sort of interned on the show and started learning the board and stuff.
They invited me down, and I came one night, and I just never really left.
That was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
that's by the way how I started on this show.
That's the way.
The exact same way, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the way everything works.
On radio.
You just show up.
In radio, especially.
Yeah. But a lot of jobs.
Hmm.
Just get down there. Get in there. Have people know you. I mean, that was, how many years ago, Anderson?
Oh, Jesus, like six.
6 years ago, and now he's making 24 grand a year.
21.
21 grand a year. All right, people? If that's not a success story, I don't know what is.
They were going to put me on this show, and Ann's like, is there anybody else?
Oh, really?
And they went through like three or four names before they finally put me here.
So funny.
Well, we liked our old guy, Dooley.
Was Dooley officially a radio engineer type?
Like no, radio probably. Fan. Look at him.
That's a good point. Sarah?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
I was at a friend's house about 2 weeks ago and drinking quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys that I've considered a friend for a long time basically kind of started trying to have sex with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I didn't want to. But he kind of didn't answer me, and then I just kind of gave up fighting him, and we ended up having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's kind of really messed me up.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been raped in the past?
Mm-hmm. Have I what?
Ever been raped before?
No, was it really rape?
Yeah. Well, you were fighting him, and then
I wasn't fighting him. I was kind of too... drunk to really...
Well, you said I was fighting him, and then I finally gave in.
I said that I didn't want to,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't, like, physically fighting him,
mm.
and I just kind of...
Anything? Any trauma in the past? Gotta be something.
Oh, yeah.
I can hear it.
Yeah, probably.
What's up? I mean, when you first start talking, I can hear it. I didn't know what the question
was.
That's
why I figured she'd been raped before, too.
I've just been really messed up for the past couple weeks. I haven't been able to keep food down.
Had you ever been raped before?
No.
But you were sexually abused growing up or something?
Well, yeah, I was that.
How old were you when that started?
I was, probably about 5.
And who was that did that?
It was,
same guy.
It was a girl, actually. No. And she was about maybe a year older than me.
Oh, interesting. Mm,
really?
Yeah.
That's weird. Huh.
It's weird. And a neighbor, friend, something like that?
Yeah.
And this was the only time something like this happened?
Well, when I was 18, one of my cousins got me drunk and made out with me.
Just made out?
Didn't have sex?
No.
Mm-hmm. And what was this girl doing with you? Was this a couple of times this happened?
No, I don't really remember. It was a long time ago. But it was enough where I felt kind of bad about it, and my mom found out about it, and
hold on.
Me to see her.
Hold on a second. Let me talk to Drew for a second. There's one part of Sarah that sounds like I was victimized.
Yeah.
And then there's another part of Sarah that sounds like she's kind of making stuff.
That's why
making the victim case instead of, except for not actually victimized to the extent that she's sort of portraying.
I think she's missing where the victimization actually occurred. Probably she was physically abused or something else that she's sort of overlooking as well. It's just, everyone gets that.
Yeah, because like 18, you got drunk and made out with your cousin.
No.
That most people that wouldn't even show up on the radar,
but
really.
She feels like a victim, so.
Yeah. Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you feel like a victim?
Well, when it came to my cousin, I did because that was like the first time that
but
I ever.
You know, nobody. Forget about the sexual stuff. No physical abuse.
No physical.
Everything was good.
Yeah.
No one ever hit you.
No, never.
All right. And this guy you had sex with recently when you were drunk.
Yeah.
He's a friend of yours.
Yeah, he was.
Were you emotionally abused growing up?
No.
And this friend of yours, did you ever date him?
No.
Was he interested in you that way?
I don't think so. He's a drug addict. He sells drugs.
So he was high? Was he high?
I don't know. I don't know if he'd actually done drugs that night or not.
Hmm. So you don't feel like he raped you, though?
Well, I kind of feel like it was. I mean, people have been telling me that. Well, I don't know. People have been saying that it was rape, but I felt like it was my fault because I was drunk.
Well, no. I mean, you probably shouldn't have passed out drunk over there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't excuse what he did, and it still makes it rape.
Right.
At least technically it makes it rape.
Yeah.
But you never didn't think about calling the cops or anything like that?
No, because, I mean, people, I don't know, it feels kind of weird because people get drunk and have sex all the time. And even though I didn't want to have sex with him, I'm sure he doesn't think that he raped me.
Well but in California.
But you're telling us you said no, and tried to push him off.
I said no once.
All right. Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up. I don't know if you're depressed. I don't think it's because of this. It seems like it's something else.
Well, she's traumatized by it. That's why I think there was some other trauma. This is sort of some PTSD type stuff. But
doesn't.
I know. Anyway, the birth control, is there a chance you're pregnant?
No, I'm not pregnant.
STDs?
No.
How do you know all this?
Well, I went to a clinic and got tested.
All right. So you've done the right thing. You would take the morning after pill or something?
Yeah.
All right. So you've taken care of yourself properly. Yeah. It doesn't look like she's going to take care of this as though it were a rape. It's too late now to do much.
Don't drink and pass out. And don't hang out with the drug addict guy.
And she may be having some consequences from her alcohol use. Maybe this is the beginning of that disease for her.
And the guy, I don't know what to do with the guy. She's not going to call the cops. I don't know what the cops would really do. Lying around drinking.
Where is her trauma? I swear to God, this is a trauma survivor. I'm like fascinated. We're never wrong.
But maybe it's just depression.
Mm, it is that, but...
Sarah? She hung up?
Sarah?
Okay, good. Let's see. What did I do? Punch the wrong one?
Hello?
Sarah?
Yeah?
So, we have this really strong feeling that something... You were abandoned.
Drew does.
I do. You were abandoned or something happened that sort of made you feel traumatized growing up. Did something happen?
I don't know.
I know that I went to see my ex-boyfriend, and he got kind of upset at me, like, after this, because he felt like it was...
No, I understand, but growing up, something happened, you're abandoned or something?
No. No, not really.
All right. Go to the shrink, baby.
I am. I'm
good. Good. Yeah. Good. This sounds very depressed.
Yeah.
Ron?
Yeah.
You're 33?
Yeah.
Off drugs for 6 years. You want to know how to train your brain to remember short-term things?
Yeah. I heard the conversation the other night about the guy that got struck by lightning.
Yeah,
it
right.
Really, it just really interests me. Let me just briefly explain. I'd done drugs for quite a long time, right after high school. And then up through my 20s, from 20 to about 26, I was doing a lot of methamphetamine. And I knocked it off. I didn't seek any treatment or anything. I didn't go to a program, but I did quit. I've been off of it for 6 years. And two things. I noticed a great deal of short-term memory where I'm constantly forgetting things. And I also noticed from time to time I'll wake up and it's like I'll have vivid dreams of doing it. And I wake up and my heart's racing and I'm almost right. sweating to the point right. where, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, is this normal after?
Are you still smoking pot?
I'm sorry?
You still smoking pot?
No, I do absolutely nothing now. Okay. I don't even drink booze.
Okay, all right. Well, amphetamine is well known to cause permanent memory problems. Permanent memory and mood problems.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Speed?
Speed causes about a 50-fold increase of dopamine and serotonin release, and in those concentration, that chemical actually breaks down and forms free radicals and will destroy the nerve endings.
Free radicals, right. Bad?
Bad. And so, you know, this is a permanent thing, these memory problems that come from speed. They can get some right. Parkinsonian features, too. You can get a little Parkinson's-like. And they don't get better, unfortunately. In fact, the mood problems tend to get worse.
Is there any way to train your thoughts or your memory to help you try to remember things?
It's like reading or any other brain skill. You got to keep doing it. You will improve with use. I mean, think about how you trained your memory when you were growing up in school and things. You got better with use, but some of that brain function is just not there anymore.
Well, I mean, should you get one of those games where you take all those cards and you flip them over and you try to match the socks with the socks and the cat with the cat and then you flip the thing down again? You know that game?
Yeah, I understand. I don't know of any, I'm sure somebody's studying this, I don't know of anybody that's shown any significant improvement in that. As far as the using dreams, those are very common, you're right, they're usually earlier in recovery, like in the first 6 months or so. Using dreams are usually, I consider, good in that they sort of rehearsals for how you'd feel if you did use, and people usually wake up feeling guilty and awful. And it's interesting that it points out how powerfully reinforcing these drugs are in that just with the thought of having used in a dream, you wake up high. They wake
oh, really?
Up many of the physiological effects, particularly cocaine.
I do one of them. Drew, you can't work your brain out a little if you got one of those games that are for 10-year-olds where you match stuff. They're like memory games.
Yeah, you can, but you got to remember the brain ain't there anymore. The actual brain tissue's gone.
I'm trying to give this guy something to hang his head on.
I understand. So I would try all that, and I would certainly, you know, constantly challenge yourself. It can certainly get worse if you don't. How much better it can get? I've not known of any literature that shows how much. Maybe a lot.
No, Ron, go. I'm telling you, go down to the game store, get one of these matching things, and see if you can work it out.
Computer games, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, just do those flip card things. I used to do it when I was a kid. That's why I'm a genius now.
Oh yeah.
All right. Who are we gonna talk to when we come back? Talk to Rachel. Who's 20, had sex for first time in a long time last night. Bled unexpectedly.
Ooh,
interesting. After this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. I know this music's supposed to be really cool, but I think it sucks. I can't stand this song.
Really?
Yeah. I saw these guys on Saturday Night Live.
They're who is
it? I don't know. Whitesnake.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Why do you got to screw with the White Stripes every single
White Stripes.
Time?
I just, this song sucks. It just sucks.
I think they're one of the best bands to come out in the last 6-7 years.
I know, but they're for people that don't know that much about music to pretend like they're cool.
So off, dude.
That's exactly right. I saw, were they on Saturday Night Live?
How much do you know about music? You play
is,
the Fish.
Is it like two people?
Yeah, it's brother, sister, married couple, I don't know.
And they just sit there and look cool.
I don't like them at all, and their fans are horrible.
They
but
got a lot of attitude. Yeah, well, that's a great song, that drums and the guitar. It's a hot tune. Drew, I love that song.
Love it.
Rachel?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Yeah, that's cool. I don't want to you know, listen, there's a handful of bands that you got to say are cool so people think you're cool.
Yeah, like Anderson does a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yes, like what
that
you got to do.
That's so on me.
I know that. I'm just,
the White Stripes. Here's what I'm saying. In the 80s, you had to say you were into like early REM, made you cool.
Eraser.
And in the 90s, you got to say that you're. I'm trying to think of the band. Radiohead. Recently, you got to say you're into Radiohead. That was about 5 years ago. That makes you cool. And we're starting to get into like the White Stripes for the Make You Cool band.
All right, Rachel, what's going on? Rachel's 20.
Hey,
no one ever argues with you, by the way, either. You just go like this. You go, what are you into? Well, I was in early REM, then I got into Radiohead, I got in White Stripes. And everyone goes, oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and Lou Reed.
Duran Duran.
I was into Lou Reed. No one ever argues. It's because no one knows a Lou Reed song.
Right.
Lou Reed doesn't know a Lou Reed song, but everyone just nods their head. Oh, yeah, Lou Reed. No, I'm cool. This guy must know something. Quick go. All right, go ahead, Rachel.
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm into Lou Reed, yeah.
I want to say you guys are awesome. Adam, it is such a pleasure being able to talk to you. I think you are so fabulous.
Thanks, baby.
Is it true that you're getting married?
Yes.
About 2 months ago.
Well, I thought you meant again. Get married again in about 6 years, I figure. Six, 7 years.
What
That's
about
right,
that
baby.
Virginity?
How's your virginity doing? Yeah.
My virginity left me.
What do you look? Just flew away like an owl in the night?
No. I lost.
I meant while a guy was porking the bejesus out of you? What do you look like? You sound hot.
Well, actually, it's funny because I really want to be a juggie.
Ooh. Man, you sound cute.
Yeah, I saw that you guys had auditions. I was so bummed because I missed them.
Yeah, well, you snooze, you lose, baby.
I know.
All right, anyway, we'll get married in a few years. What's up?
Well, I lost my virginity like about 6 months ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I had sex a lot. And then I stopped having sex like about 3 or 4 months ago, and I had sex for the first time last night again, and then I got around today, I came back from school, and I realized I was bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Like having your period?
No, it was different.
Mm-hmm. Like stab wound?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. And you've never been stabbed before? Someone put a shank in you? Okay, and you say you had sex a lot. Same guy or different guys?
It's a different guy.
But when he had sex a lot, was it?
Same guy.
Okay.
Well, listen, having sex can stimulate bleeding either immediately right after you've had sex, or it can even bring your period in if you're like a week or two early even.
Okay.
So it's not that big a deal. Are you on the pill?
I'm sorry?
Are you on the pill?
No.
What are you doing for birth control?
I haven't been able to do anything. Oh. It made me crazy and it affected my work.
The pill made you crazy?
Mm-hmm. And plus, the facilities around here, I don't have a doctor, and because I'm not going to be living here for very long. And the facilities around here are only open, like, when I'm at school.
Are you UC Santa Barbara?
Hmm?
Or the City College?
Yes.
UC Santa Barbara?
Yes.
Really? You're a gaucho?
I'm sorry?
You're a gaucho?
Why don't you go to the student
house? No, wait a minute.
She's Santa Barbara City.
You're going to City College.
Huh?
City College.
Yes.
Yes. You tried to tell us you were going to UC Santa Barbara.
Well, I'm not even doing that.
Yeah, we know junior college when we hear it, baby.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. we're not even wrong when someone tells us what college you're going to. Hi, I'm going to Harvard. No, you're not. They've been there for 6 semesters. No.
No way.
She lives in Santa Barbara. It's not a wild stretch to think a 20-year-old girl is going to UC Santa Barbara, but...
I'll make it further. I bet she's going to cosmetology school or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't think she's going to junior college, Rachel?
Yeah.
Junior college or specialty college?
Specialty?
No. Drew's holding his hands up, but he's a robot and he doesn't understand inflection.
It's kind of like a private school.
Uh-oh. What do you study?
Acting.
So you go to like an acting type academy in Santa Barbara?
Not even in Santa Barbara.
where are you? Oxnard?
Huh?
Where are you? Where?
I don't want to say.
You don't want to say?
You're not calling from Santa Barbara, then?
No.
Okay. All right.
Screwed us all up.
All right, but the guy was right, though.
Huh? I mean, it's a specialty. Not cosmetology school, but... All right, baby. But good times, right?
You need to get some birth control. It's been 5 days. You said it was Saturday night, so the morning after pill really isn't going to work. But you could get pregnant here, right?
That's a cute chick who's nice, by the way.
Yeah.
Dumbest box of rocks, but nice. Like, you know, we talk about that hot chick who's bitchy.
Yeah.
It's about 90%. Right. Once in a while, there's just super nice and hot.
Right.
That's nice. It's a good combo. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll get back. We'll find out someone knows why there's two flashes on the stoplight cameras after this. Hey, Loveline. Well, there's a good riff. White Stripes?
The Stripes, but... Now, this is the band that everyone thinks sounds like the Stripes to me.
Oh, who is this?
The Vines.
Oh, the Vines. Yeah, see? Yeah, there's a riff. Yeah. Like that. Yeah, that's rock there, baby.
Good times.
Tyler?
Yeah.
You're 14?
16.
No, 16.
Yeah.
First hand was blocking the age thing. What's up there, buddy?
Nothing.
Oh, you know why there are two? Yeah, I got ran a red light, got the camera flash thing ticket the other day, but hasn't shown up yet. And I'm thinking maybe it's because I didn't have the front license plate on.
No, it's just your pigs are lazy.
Pigs.
Pigs.
Interesting.
Hey, how dare you call them pigs?
Get on your knees, scumbag!
So, there's two flashes.
Why?
Yeah. One takes a picture of where your license should be, and one takes a picture of your mug, where your head should be.
Yeah, that's true. They take two pictures.
So, your face,
so you
right.
You got your mug at the police department over there.
Yeah.
And what, is just to make sure that you were the one actually driving the car? Or?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It's just some over...
Yeah, they just take two. But it doesn't matter if your wife's driving the car, whatever, the ticket goes to... Wherever the car's registered.
Right.
If someone steals your car.
That's weird. Whoever's driving is the one guilty of it.
Yeah, it would seem that way, but it goes...
You gave him the car.
You gave him the car.
The car, so it's your fault, you know?
Yeah. All right, bear buddy. Good times.
All right, I don't have to spout all that I love you, Dr. Drew and Adam stuff, do I?
It'd be nice, yeah.
Well, you guys are cool guys, but I'm not writing your name on my shoe or nothing.
But you love us.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah?
No.
Come on, buddy. There's love.
I'm fine.
There's different kinds of love. It doesn't all have to be gay love.
This is agape love.
I understand that, but...
Not eros, but agape.
This is agape love. What's that, Drew?
Like spiritual love.
Spiritual love. Yeah. This isn't lustful love. Adam? You're 18?
John. It's John.
All right, John, what's up?
Says Adam on the screen.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that I think you've got really the wrong impression about all these new bands coming out. I think they're just really great and got really fresh kind of new sound. And
right.
I was actually going to suggest you guys should get one of them on.
All right, we'll do that.
No, they're really awesome. You guys really.
I'm sure they'll be on.
All right, yeah. Well, it's not like we don't have
really.
It's not like we don't put new bands on the show. But actually, both those bands passed on the show. And producer Ian just whispered in our ear.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so screw them. All right.
Oh, well, anyway.
Good times, everybody. Yeah.
Keep playing them. They're awesome.
All right. I'm going to do that. Let's talk to...
one more ticket question.
Oh, we got another.
Frank?
Hey, what's up, boys?
You're 38.
How you doing, Double D? What's up,
man? Oh, yeah. You're the guy who drives a Camaro and has sex with the entire family of your girlfriend, right?
Frankie Camaro.
What happened with that? You leave that?
Real quick, Dr. Drew. It's weird. I just wanted to say hello to you, but I'm sorry, Adam. It's weird because I had gotten the same ticket. What happens is it takes about a month because I went through in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even, the cops will get run over, so they have the same thing. They have the photo.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who called just before is totally wrong. It doesn't take a picture of the face or anything like that. What it does is it takes an instant picture when the right light turns red. It takes a picture of the front of the car, then like it waits maybe a second, or it's either half a second to a second to a second and a half, and takes a picture of the back of the car, and it zooms right in and gets the license plates.
Yeah.
I had it and I seen it, and the reason it's not a regular red light, it's a $50 ticket because they don't know who's driving. It could be someone who snuck your car out, your girlfriend, but it does go go to the registered person. You are right.
Yeah, but you're calling from New York,
right.
And I, you know, I had a buddy who got one out here, and it was like 200 and change.
No, 50 bucks, because like I said.
Wait, first off, there's no such thing in California as a $50 ticket
for. You're 100% right. I'm just talking strictly New York, so you're 100%.
All right, so it might be different out here, because in New York, they have rapid transit that's usable. So they probably don't do the kind of raping that they do
right.
here in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles,
you guys are the best,
basically
right.
What they do is there's zero rapid transit available.
Right.
You are confined to your car. You must use your car.
So we're
and
gonna get
now
you.
Let the raping begin.
I apologize.
Yes. And
I
then
apologize.
Thank you. And
because I am coming from a New York point of view.
So wait, I want to hear about the mom and the dog.
There's certain cities such as Rape Bank or Burbank, as some people still, the old people call it by the old name, Burbank
well,
sometimes.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
There's places like Rape Bank
who are
number one in raping citizens.
Speaking of Rape Bank, how about that girl? Oh, I said no. But then it was, then they let him do it. I mean,
yeah.
People are crazy. And then the other guy, the other girl says, oh, yeah, he likes to have sex four times a month. What are you, out of your mind? I'd be down that thing every
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you're going down on, you're nailing the dog, the mom.
Anyway, real quick, let me get to my other thing.
The baker, the candlestick maker.
You guys said to try to get out of that. Well, that's what I've been trying to do.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is this, I met somebody else.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say to Dr. Drew, Adam, because I know what you're going to say,
yeah.
Which is great. But from a healthy standpoint, Dr. Drew, I met a girl, 33, she has a kid, really nice, everything seems to be together and everything. Now, should I come out of this other one and go into something
hold
like
on,
that?
Hold on, you met another girl?
Yeah.
Okay, when Frank, hold on, quiet down. Oh, thank God for that hold button. When Frank called the show a couple weeks back, he was having sex with his girlfriend and his girlfriend's mom.
Right.
Okay, just want to make sure everyone's up to speed on young
and
Frank.
And we told Frank to get the hell out of there, and that's fine. You can have another relationship once you get the hell out of that current mess.
Right.
All right, that's fine.
Is that what you're...
About a month and a half ago when I first called. Then about 2 weeks ago I called.
Yeah, and you were...
But you had told me that, you know, you guys said, that you, Dr. Drew said to get the hell out of it. So that's what I've been trying to do, trying to bust away from that, but then I meet somebody else now.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. If this new relationship gets you out of that old mess, fine.
No, but you know what's scary?
You're going to do all three.
Her mom's too old for you to F. What's scary?
No, listen. The only reason that ever happened was because it was totally situational.
I
was
going to
do it in another situation.
All right.
It had to be perfect. But anyway, this new one, everything is perfect. You know, nothing's perfect, but everything is good. Because usually I meet these girls that, you know, are a little crazy, younger. Everything's good about this girl, but what do you recommend about the kid? It's an 8 to 10-year-old kid, and it...
Well, you can't F the kid for about another 4 years. I mean, that's just...
Adam, man, that's why you are the best, Adam. I heard you on Stern. I mean, you know, you're slowly becoming a legend.
Hold on, Frank. Frank, you listen to Howard Stern.
I'm shocked.
Are you shocked, bro? I picked Frank for a KCRW man.
Oh, yeah, classical stuff.
Morning becomes eclectic.
Classical and public radio. That's it. That's all Frank listens to. What are you talking about? How dare you?
Frank, as far as the kid goes, here's the thing.
I just wanted to know about it, because, you know, she's well out of the father's, that was 10 years ago, eight.
Well, listen, coming in and out of kids' lives is destructive to the kids. If you're going to develop a relationship with a child, you want to be around for years. Either that or don't have a relationship with the child. Just
date
the girl.
Take it slow. Don't bond with the kid until you know you're serious about the relationship.
Exactly. Really stay away from the child. And at the point which you do develop a relationship, then you got to follow through. You got to stay with it for a long time.
Now, here's the whole thing about this camera and the intersection ticket thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing about the back plate thing, I didn't see any flash behind me. I saw two flashes in front of me.
Right.
And if you look at the way they're situated in the intersection, they don't seem to have a camera that faces the back. It faces the front of all four directions.
That's right.
So I'm wondering if there's a back one. I also know this is why they want you to have a front license plate. Dallas?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
A while back ago,
mm-hmm.
I was skateboarding. And I fell while I was grinding.
You fell while you were skateboarding?
Mm-hmm.
Grinding, like on a
grinding, bar, grinding. Yeah. Oh, yeah, bad times. Yeah.
Bad times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, really bad times. And I gassed open my clitoris.
Gassed your clitoris?
Mm-hmm.
On the bar you were grinding on?
Yeah.
Because I don't even have a clitoris and it hurts. Uh-huh. That's brutal. And what happened? Blood started pouring from that area?
Yeah.
Woo.
Shot.
Jesus Christ. Can you imagine standing around there, Drew? What were you wearing?
A pair of pants.
Were they light in color?
Yeah.
Wow, it's like Carrie.
They were white.
Were they?
Uh-huh.
Nah.
It was like, it didn't hurt at first, but then all of a sudden it felt like excruciatingly painful.
All right, what's the question?
It hurt at first, and then it went painful after that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what'd you do?
I went to the hospital.
Stitch it up?
Yeah, they stitched it up.
Where'd they put the stitches?
All the way across the cut.
Yeah. Across the cut.
Mm-hmm.
She tore her clothes.
Yeah, yeah. Hold on. I know they put the stitches across the cut. I mean, they're not. What are they going to do? Stitch your eyelid shut when your vagina's clit? Did you say clit or cut?
Across the cut, where it cut open, they stitched it together.
Anderson, please. Never gets old for you, does it? Okay, and the cut was it on the clitoris?
Uh-huh.
Or did it sort of tear the clitoris from its base?
It was across it.
Okay, hold on. I don't know. Drew, is that even possible? Or can you sort of rupture it, like smash it? You know what I mean? Like, I don't buy the part where it was
she just cut above, across, you know, the skin area above.
Yeah, like caught the hood?
Yeah.
Was it the hood of the clitoris?
Yeah.
Very agreeable. Very agreeable.
The zipper caught it.
Was it the trunk?
The zipper caught it.
Mm-hmm, where the zipper fell down.
Yeah.
It ripped it across. It was the trunk. It wasn't actual, but it was a trunk. The same thing to me, but you cut across. Across the trunk.
I was being funny, the hood and the trunk.
Oh, I see.
It's all the same organ to me. It hurt.
Yeah, okay.
All right, what's the question?
How many stitches?
Like 15 across, all the way across.
Oh, 15 is, they could have sewed you shut with 15.
Right, it went from one side to the other.
What's the question?
Well, after I got the stitches out, it started going numb and blue.
Well, it's just swollen. Blue is just blood under the tissue.
And the numb part keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, at first, it was just the general area.
Yeah, well, you crushed a nerve, and then you've got whatever swelling was occurring, and the nerve is not going to work so good.
How long ago did this happen?
Like 7 months ago.
It doesn't necessarily mean...
7 months?
Mm-hmm.
Still all discolored and swollen?
Yeah. My doctor keeps saying, no big deal, no big deal, it'll go away.
Have you told them about the feeling change?
Mm-hmm.
And what do they say?
No big deal, it fixes itself.
Yeah, and there's not much they can do. Here's the deal. You can't really repair nerves. They're either going to repair themselves or they're not. There's nothing you can do to help that along. However, just as a sort of a word of encouragement, there is all kinds of female genital mutilation procedures done throughout the world, and they've studied this a little bit now, and even women that have their clitoris excised.
Where do they do that? Like Sweden? Netherlands?
Luxembourg.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what, where do they do that? Africa?
Yeah.
And where else?
In parts of the Middle East.
Oh. Shocking. I am flabbergasted, Drew. Those such wonderful utopian countries doing
that?
No,
not all right.
Well, I am floored, Drew. Parts of the Middle East and Africa. Who knew? Go ahead.
So, anyway, the women that have their clitoris removed still have sexual functioning. Still orgasm and things.
Uh-huh.
So.
That's where the...
Can be okay.
That's where the female genitalia mutilation goes on. Those countries.
Right.
It's amazing. World. But every place is equally great. Anthony?
Yeah, hi.
You're 18?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just certain countries are into the female genital mutilation. You're 18 and you know how to beat one of those camera tickets?
Yeah, see, you have the constitutional right to confront anyone that's against you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to see the ticket to know for sure, but you can make a demur, that's what it's called. It's a pretrial motion.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically say that you want to confront who, you know, goes to the citation.
Mm-hmm.
And since they can't, you know, haul the camera into court, that's legal ground.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. They'll never work, but an interesting angle.
Well, I mean, and you also, you have to appear in court normally when you get a ticket because you sign the thing. That's why they make you sign it, and if you don't sign it, they haul you in.
Well, how it works out here in Los Angeles now is the whole part about, they've really eliminated the part where you show up and go to court and do all this stuff. It's really just, it's pure generation of income. So they just start sending you stuff, and you just send them checks. Like, you get tickets, you know, like, you used to get, like, fix-it tickets and stuff like that, where, I mean, there was a time in this great land of ours, known as Los Angeles, and probably the same for other places across the country, where they actually were interested in fixing whatever was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were driving and they stopped you because you had no license plate or you had a taillight out or something, you would actually have to get it fixed. Then you'd go into a highway patrol station. You'd have an inspector inspect it. He would sign off that, yes, you had this fixed. And there wasn't a charge because the plan wasn't to make money. The plan was to get your taillight fixed. Now, you just send them a check. They don't really care whether you fix it or not. It's all just about raping the citizens. It's just a way to generate income. There's zero public transportation, and there's a goddamn parking meter on every corner, and they're no longer are they not valid on Saturdays and Sundays anymore like they used to. You got to feed them on Saturdays and sometimes Sundays, I'd imagine. And there's like a red arrow everywhere, and it's just, there's a camera everywhere. Certain places worse than others, such as Rape Bank, formerly known as Burbank. But it's just about squeezing everyone for money. That's it. And my whole point is just tell us the money you need so we can get to our goddamn business and so you guys can stop crime instead of busting people for expired tabs and taillights and things like that. It drives me berserk, Drew, as you know. Peter?
Yeah.
You're 22.
I sure am.
What's up?
I just have a general question. My girlfriend and I, you know, I think we do pretty well pleasuring one another, but, you know, I think we're trying to go in a new direction here, and I'm just got some general questions about anal stimulation for both male and female.
Yes.
All right. What your questions are.
You know, essentially, what's just the best way to get started and the best way to go about it? And,
well, who's stimulating who?
Well, I think, you know, it's like I said, we have a good relationship, so I'd like to think we could both pleasure one another.
Who's motivating this?
It's mutual.
Mutual, which is you talk about it and she pretends to listen, or
no. You know, in all honesty, she's the one that brought it up.
All right.
Really,
that's the question.
And she wants to do stuff to you.
You know, like it just right now we just have general curiosities. I'm not against anything.
Sure.
What did she bring up?
Just you know, insertion.
In you.
In myself and into her. You know,
she brought that up right away. She went. From the beginning, when she brought this interest up, she was talking about both of you.
Absolutely.
And she wants to put stuff in you.
As well as have things put into her.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What about Tristan Taramino's book?
Oh, yeah. Remember her, Anal Queen?
Yeah.
The other thing is if you're interested, if anybody is interested in having something put up them rectally... All you got to do is exceed the speed limit by 4 miles an hour in the city of Burbank, and they pull you over and rape you.
Oh, it's BF Bank, yes.
It's a symbolic raping, but nevertheless, it's an anal raping that goes on in that city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So can't wait till one of those cops tries to kill me.
Huh.
Hey, Peter?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, putting a butt plug in your butt?
No, well, I mean, that's
what... How dare you?
We've done some research, you know, obviously we'd like to go get cleaned out, you know, get one of those kits and you can get yourselves cleaned out.
Yeah, how do those kits work?
Yeah, well, I haven't tried one yet. But...
are you talking about like an enema kit?
We're not, an enema kit, I believe you can get them at, you know, your local pharmacy, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to go about this in the right way.
So you clean yourself out with the kit and then you test out. Now, what about her using a strap-on on you?
It wouldn't be my first idea, but at the same point in time...
Yeah, you're open.
I'm not ashamed of anything.
Right. So. Well, I'd say with her, it's pretty easy because you have a penis to put
That's
in
true.
Her.
That's
but
true.
With her, it presents a little bit of a challenge. Let's say a little vibrator action. You know, I mean, don't do anything, you know, no bowling pins or cans of corn, you know what I mean?
Well, he's open for anything, Adam. He's interested, whatever. He's open.
I know, but you gotta, you know, they don't make strap-on butt plugs, do they?
Oh, no.
Why not?
I don't know, why not?
You know what a butt plug looks like, Drew?
Like an ace of spades.
Oh, Drew.
Right?
Yeah. It does. Let's just look like a sort of spade.
Yeah.
On it, but it has a little
base.
It's important to have a base when you make butt plugs because they don't come back out. I remember when I was when I had my first apartment in North Hollywood. Crazy guy lived under me named Al, middle-aged guy. Had his dog Skipper. Used to walk around with a windbreaker on, drinking a beer. Had one of those foam beer koozies. You know those things that. You know what always amazes me is when people hang on to 10-cent items for 28 years. Like, this was like, first off, it was a beer that I don't think they made anymore, like Primo. Uh-huh. Or it was, maybe it was like Hams or something, but it was clearly from the
70s.
Yeah. And it was foam.
Yeah, styrofoam.
Styrofoam. Yeah. It wasn't the newfangled right. Beer koozie. It was the old school foam one. And, you know, you could see where the guy's handprint had worn into the thing, like the Colorado River carving out the Grand Canyon over millions of years, you know. And it was like gold. It was like Coors or Hams or something. And he used to walk out and he'd drink this beer every day. He wore these thick glasses, wore a windbreaker. And he lived underneath us in our first apartment. His name was Al. And he was like something out of a sitcom. Like, he was a lonely guy who lived alone, and his job was to take care of the apartment, and he was meticulous and crazy about it, but he really saw it as a form of celebrity. Huh. And I remember he'd walk around with this beer koozie and his dog Skipper all day. This mangy,
was he drinking
mangy
beer?
Mud of a dog. Well, he'd go to work, and then he'd come home at like 3 o'clock. He worked at like McDonnell Douglas or something. He had this job at like a factory. And then he'd come in, he'd be out there with his windbreaker and be watering. And he was a creepy guy in the sense that, like, I didn't get laid much, but there was a lot of young chicks running in and out of the apartment. And he was always sort of interested, and he'd stop by coincidentally when the girls were over. And the day his dog Skipper died.
Oh.
That was a very sad day for Al. Al cornered me on the front lawn after drowning his sorrows with a couple of beers and really let loose about Skipper. And it was a very, very uncomfortable situation.
Oh, no.
Also, Al would not, after living there for 2 years, would not lend me his hose. Al had a hose, but it was no just regular 50-footer. It was the one that was on the spool.
Yeah.
You know, the PVC plastic one with the crank handle and the wheels on it.
Yeah, sure.
It was like the hose dolly. This thing must have been $65 at the Home Depot. And he kept it in his house, you know, because...
How did you want that for it?
It's a big ticket item. I wanted to hose off my porch. And I was like, hey, Al, let me borrow the hose. And I was looking at it through his screen door inside of his apartment, and he was like, what hose?
Oh.
And he kind of slid in front of the door to block it. I was like, and he would lean as I would lean. I was like trying to look over his shoulder. I was like, that hose. Oh, that hose? No. I can't let you. I'm like, Al, I'm just going, first I'm going to be right above you. We're right upstairs. Yeah. That hose was given to me by Jim, the owner. And I told him, you know, I can't let that out of my sight. Now, if you want me to come hose it off, we can schedule that. But, no, I can't let the hose go. I did. I just felt bad. I was like, give me the hose. I'll just hose it off. No. He used to carry a piece.
Oh, no.
He was one of these guys. I'd have these. He was always come. Whoa, he loved chicks. Anyway, he was always one of these guys who was like, I don't know if you ever run into these guys. The guy was like 55. He's all greasy, thick glasses, carrying around the beer koozie and the mangy dog Skipper. And he'd always say, like, I see those young girls heading up to your place. Send one of them down one of these times. Like, yeah, that'd be great.
Sure.
Hey, Jill, come here. Yeah. What are you doing? Nothing. Listen, I want you, what are you, 19? Yeah, great. Head down and F Al. He's the guy with the... He's the guy with the special. He's got the special shoes. One heel's a little thicker than the other. He's got Yeah, he's got the hose in his living room. Yeah, that's the guy. Give him a good effing, would you? Oh, really? Oh, hey, what's with the attitude? Come on. He said, I told him we'd send somebody down. Oh. You know those guys who do
that? You said that to him?
No, no. But you know those guys that, like, throw one my way thing?
Yeah, that's
like,
crazy.
Like, that's actually what you're going to do?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, the day Skipper died.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was tough. I was in a hurry. I was trying to get out of there. I was on my motorcycle. Had the helmet on and motorcycle running and everything. And Al caught me. Skipper died. I was like, oh, that's rough. We're all going to miss Skipper. Now I got to leave. And he's like, dog meant a lot to me. Like, now it's at the commitment. Like, do I take the helmet off now? I got the bike running. Do I shut it down? Like, should I keep the inertia going?
Yeah.
Al will never forgive me. The beer koozie trembling in his hand.
Oh.
$65 hose in the back.
Where is Al now? I want to meet Al.
And the comedy is his son would stay in his place like once every 6 months when Al would go out of town for a few days.
Same guy.
Wearing the blue windbreaker, slick back hair, and the beer coos, except for this guy was 30.
Oh,
it was perfect. All right, we'll be back. Oh.
Uh-oh.
This guy, Al, one of the guys in the apartment moved out, and this guy turned out to be a crazy perv.
Who?
I don't know who it was. I mean, it was a six-unit building. Wait. One of the guys moved out in our building, and he turned out to be a perv. Yeah. And Al had to clean out the guy's unit.
Oh.
And Al showed up one day with a huge box of butt plugs, dildos, dongs, cranks, everything, and just handed it right to us and thought you guys could use it. And it's like a little, yeah, thanks, Al.
Was he laughing?
We'll send one of the ladies over with the strap on. Yeah. Yeah, he was laughing, but it's a little creepy. Yeah. A little creepy. All right. We'll take
nice
a
life.
Thank you.
You've left. Yeah, yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. You ready to get going on the phones here?
Yeah.
Alan?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes, I was with a girl for a year, and we broke up about 3 months ago because her stepdad got a new job, like, in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're having unprotected sex towards the end, and she's now 3 months pregnant, and that was, like, right when she moved.
Mm-hmm.
She's with some new guy now, and she says that if the kid's mine, then, that the new guy's going to be the dad.
Yeah.
All right.
And I don't know what to do. You know?
Is that a relief for you, or do you want to be involved in this child's life?
Well, no. If it's mine, first I would like to see if she wanted to get an abortion, because, I mean, I'm not really ready.
Well, it's been 3 months.
But so you'd rather have her get an abortion than have her raise the child with someone else?
Yeah.
What is that logic? I don't get that. Why?
Well, because he's going to feel if she has a kid and he's not around, he's going to feel guilty.
Yeah, but somebody's
going to... If she has it, I don't want my kid to be calling somebody else dead.
So you'd rather have the child dead?
Well, dead's a harsh word, Drew, but
right.
Not exist.
Yeah.
You'd rather have it dead?
Well, I mean, it's not fully...
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like she's going to stab the kid on his first birthday.
Yeah, it's not like it's 8 months old or nothing.
Right.
Yeah, but you'd rather have it, destroyed, let's say, than raised by someone else.
Well, I go my whole life trying to find my kid.
Why?
And wondering.
Well, you know where the kid is.
It's raised by someone who's prepared to be the father.
She doesn't. It's not having to do with that. She just doesn't want me to. She doesn't want me to be the,
Yeah. As long as you know that there's good parenting or the appropriate parenting, and you're not ready to have a kid, what's the issue?
Yeah.
It's just knowing that my offspring's out there. And
why is that troubling to you?
Because if I have a kid, I want to be a good dad, and I want to free.
You can't be. You're not prepared to be. So let's have somebody do it who's prepared to be.
Yeah.
The thing is, she won't even, like, get tested or nothing or like that, like, to see, like, who is the father or whatever.
All right, well, why don't you assume it's the new guy? How much, what physically, is, what's the new guy look like?
I have no idea. She's, like, real far away. But they've only been together, like, 2 months.
How are you going to be a father if she's way far away?
He's not going to be a father. He doesn't want to be a father. He just doesn't want someone else being a father.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of selfish male thinking. That's fine. Yeah. That's what you think when you're 20.
Well, how about thinking from the standpoint of the child, Alan, and not you? Child would rather have a chance at life.
No, but he looks at the child as him.
That's the problem here. That's what I'm getting at.
All right. Well, he knows he's going to be a bad dad.
Well, no, not that. It's just I'm, like, young and I don't have my career yet.
Yeah, right. But how about looking at it from the standpoint of the child and not you? The child would like a chance at life.
Well, yeah, I don't think she would be for it anyways. But
so, Alan, so what if you were looking at it from the standpoint of the child? You're going to not allow that child its chance at life.
Yeah, it's selfish.
Yes, yes, it's purely about you, and that's not what children are about.
Okay, right. But I'm curious about your girlfriend giving you a heads up on maybe this is your kid.
Yeah, that's kind of
Do you think she said that to her new guy? Do you think she said maybe this isn't your kid?
I really don't think it's his because they've supposedly only been together 2 months and she says she's 3 months pregnant.
And how is the new guy handling this news?
I have no idea. I haven't talked to him.
And what? Why should we be so sure that this new guy of 2 months
is going to raise a child?
Is going to hang out and raise a kid and with this chick who's a little bit chaotic?
I don't think he'd be a good father. But
probably attracts guys that aren't great dads.
If she had it and it wasn't mine, I would I'd do whatever I had to do. I guess I'd move up there.
No. Okay, but listen, Alan, do you think she'll have an abortion?
She's, I don't know, she's kind of giddy about it. I mean,
she's happy to be pregnant.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, so, Alan, unfortunately, here's the deal, everybody. It's not using the condom, not using the protection. It's like not putting your seatbelt on when you go down to the corner just to buy a pack of smokes. It's, just a short shot.
100%.
You still can get cleaned out.
That's right.
And it's not the odds. It's not like driving across the country without wearing your seatbelt. And people make it across the country and back 10 times without wearing their seatbelt. Nothing ever happens. And then people just scoot out to the corner half a block away and get cleaned out. Because they weren't wearing their seatbelt. And this is why you just got to put it on every time. And it's the same with the birth control.
There you go.
And you're going to get in a position like Alan, and there's no real fix. She wants to have the kid, she's going to have the kid. Then you can start getting into paternity testing. Then you can start getting into, relocation. But it's all about the kid now.
Yep.
Here's the main thing. Don't do it again. That's the main thing. And think about the
main thing is, why don't we talk about the morning after pill in this country? That's the main thing.
Not heard it spoken about anywhere. Really, I don't think.
You know, you don't hear it spoken. Well, for a while there, they were bringing it up negatively, like, oh, that's an abortion pill.
Mm-hmm.
No, they finally realized that that's dishonest, inaccurate rendition of how that pill works.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of backed off now and hoping it just kind of goes away.
I've not heard any politician really bring up anything as it pertains to sort of birth control and that kind of stuff. I hear them constantly harping about more resources for unwanted kids, latchkey kids. We need programs for these kids. We need to get to these kids early. We need to provide things for these kids of these broken families because these kids are not going to get the education and they're going to end up getting involved with drugs and crimes. But I never hear the part about the kids not being created.
There's a whole abstinence-only thing going on right now. Are you aware of this?
No, but yes.
Yeah, that's where all the discussion is going.
But here's...
That we shouldn't be talking about these things. We should only be talking about abstinence as the only alternative outside of marriage.
But here's what I don't understand politically. If there's a problem, and like I said, I know from talking to California, I don't know, representative or whatever the hell she is. I spoke to Maxine Waters about this. She's basically a crazy black woman. I think she has dementia or something. She's Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son. She didn't really know where she was.
I said to her, Miss Waters, you heard about this morning after pill? And she said, Fred Sanford, you old weasel, you heathen, you. And she made a fist and she took a swing at me with her purse. Now, she didn't know what it was. She told me that the... She said it was unproven. Yeah. And I told her, no, that's untrue. And she said, well, the jury's still out. She has people looking into it or something. And I said, no. And then I said to her, don't you think you should know about this stuff? Like, I just sort of called her out on it. And I know it sounds like I'm BSing, but I'm not. Because I don't care. She seemed like a nut job to me. And she just seemed nuts and out of it. And she's just too busy up screaming about, she's up in Sacramento screaming about nothing all day. But the point is if you got a problem with the unwanted kids and the latchkey kids and the kids that are, you know, on welfare and the parents that can't take care of them, if this is a problem, shouldn't you be looking at producing the kids? I'm just saying, I've said this many times, if you have a problem in your house with roaches, the exterminator doesn't show up at the house and start chasing the roaches around with a rolled up newspaper. Right. He goes for the nest.
That's right.
It's like, here's where they breed. And I'm not saying kids are roaches, but I'm saying you have a problem. Too many of something that you don't want, that's not, the resources aren't there to take care of. You don't chase them all around individually. You go for the nest. And in this case, the nest is young, poor, screwed up people cranking out too many kids.
Yep.
And you put the resources toward them. And this is not abusive toward the people. This gives them a shot at life. This gives them a shot to get through college. This gives them a shot to have careers instead of six kids. Mm-hmm. Hey, politicians will not touch it. And they'll not touch the morning after pill because they're cowards and pussies, plain and simple. Or, like I said, I think in Maxine Waters' situation, I think she just has dementia. So I feel.
What? A bunch of pussies.
Jay?
Hello?
You're 14?
Yeah.
Do you agree with what I just said?
Yes.
Yes?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up?
We can hear you.
Okay, well, I have to whisper to my parents or loser. I'll get freaked if I find out I'll call.
They're what? They're loose?
He said he was gay.
Okay, got it.
All right, let's keep going. Go ahead, Jay. You're gay?
What? No.
Yeah. Okay, keep going. Keep going.
No.
I was going to get my eyebrow pierced, and my parents were like, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Mm-hmm.
Okay, he said he was being raped at school by the football team.
What?
Keep going.
What'd you say?
We can hear you. Keep going.
Okay, and then they freaked out. I said, I want to get my eyebrow pierced. Mm-hmm.
He lost sensation in his rectum.
Oh my God! They freaked.
Right.
They freaked on him, and
they freaked on him. So I don't know if he should see a doctor at this point. Keep going, Jay.
Okay. So they freaked out when I said that. Mm-hmm. That I wanted to get my eyebrow pierced. Mm-hmm.
I heard they all finished in him and flooded his innards with semen, and he has what's called a floating liver syndrome now. That's what I can gather so far. Yes?
So then I told him that I just thought it was making him a cold stuff.
Okay. Did you get it done?
What happened is his way of dealing with this pain was uncontrollable sobbing and masturbating.
Okay, got it.
In front of the school.
In front of the school? Interesting.
While he was sucking his thumb.
You picked up all that?
Yes, it's true.
Did you? Wait, Jay.
Come up with that idea for a comedy movie. I just heard that.
Jay. Jay, did you get the piercing in the eyebrow?
No, I told you that I told my parents that I wanted to get one.
Okay, it's not going to happen.
Wait a minute, that's not what I heard.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to
happen. I heard that a 13-year-old girl with Down syndrome kicked his ass. In
front of the school,
in front of school during lunch while he was masturbating and sucking his thumb.
Wow.
Yeah. Now he claims she had the advantage because he had pink eye from the semen exposure.
Oh, yeah.
And couldn't see her well.
And a floating
liver syndrome. Jay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Jay, you got to get your parents' permission to have that kind of piercing anyway. So they're not going to give it. You're not going to get it. It rejects a lot up there, the eyebrow.
Like we had a thought, if I would say you did get one, to get infected or whatever?
Not that likely, actually. But you're 14. You got lots of time. Lots of time.
Another question.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I've got
it. No, this is going to be bad.
This one's really good.
All right, well, hold on. We'll get back with Silent J. Yeah, it's a good one, right?
Yeah.
When we come back. Hey, Loveline, y'all. Phone number. Oh, forget about that. Let's get back to phones. Speak to young Silent J. Jay?
Hey, thanks for taking my other question.
Okay, that's all right. What is it, Jay?
Jay's parents.
I'm pretty big. I'm the tallest one on the block for my age. I'm 5'7", 145, and I lift weights. So a lot of times...
You're what for your age?
Oh, look, I'm big and tall for my age.
You're big and tall for your age, yeah.
Okay.
My age.
I'm 5'7", 145.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, so I'm not really afraid to go up and defend myself or defend, you know, this girl. There's a park about 40 yards from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Up on the lawn. A lot of kids make out on there, but this one 15-year-old guy was beating up his girlfriend just because she just, like, said that she wouldn't go to this party with him.
Yeah.
And I went over there and confronted and just shoved him down the ground, kind of, because it's a hill, sort of like a hill, not really like...
What's the question?
And then we got into a fight and started rolling around punching each other. And then I wound up with a broken nose out of it.
Nice.
Came out with a busted eyebrow, and that was it.
Okay.
No knocked out teeth or anything.
All right.
Is there a question?
He doesn't have a question.
Shut up, damn it!
I think he just got into a scrap one to talk about, though.
Jay's an interesting guy.
I like a young 14-year-old guy who speaks in terms of yards. He must play corner football. I said the park was 40 yards from his house. Jay?
Yeah?
You play any football?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know football players. Football players are yards.
Yeah.
Football players are like you just start thinking in terms, everything becomes yards. Oh, yeah. You just get used to yard increments.
Yeah.
And then they're like, mailbox probably 14 yards from the front door. And, the park, 40 yards from the house. New York, 700,000 yards.
Or you'll say
from L.A.
From the corner, it's about 4 football fields.
Yeah, start thinking of football fields and yards.
7 increments, too, really. Good.
Huh?
Like football, like 7, like 14, 2 touchdowns, 49, 7 touchdowns.
Thinking 7s?
I did. I did all grown. How many yards are you from me?
Right now. Right now, we're about...
9.
No, we're like 6.5.
I was going to say 10.
No, not 9.
Measure it. Can you go to...
There's no tape in here. We're about 5.5 or
9.
6. 9 yards?
Yeah, yeah.
No, Brian's right. Brian says 10?
Yeah.
10 yards?
9.
10 yards is 30 feet.
It's not quite
What
10.
Position you play in?
I played linebacker, and I played guard on offense.
See, I was offense, so I know yards.
Listen, you guys are trying to argue with me about distance?
We're measuring this through the break.
About distance?
Get a measure. Stick.
Get a tape
get
measure.
Get it.
Anderson, don't move. And we got to factor in the thickness of the glass
as
well.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so, this is a ridiculous show. Drew, you say we're about 9 yards away.
You're 9 yards.
This is me from Anderson.
Yeah, you to Anderson, 9 yards.
And Anderson says more like 10 yards, and I would say in the 6 yard. I would say 6 yards. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Good
times. Let's, guys, you know,
Michelle.
Be prepared. Michelle?
Oh, hi.
What's up?
I've been, like, anorexic and bulimic since I was, like, 13.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my parents found out last year, I was in counseling and recovery, and I did pretty well. And I was pretty much, I was over the symptoms about summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, a bunch of, like, really, like, big events that you would think might trigger something happen.
Right.
Like, I mean, I like lost my virginity. I started college,
right.
All sorts of stuff, but no symptoms. I was fine. You know, I kept myself up and then I moved out and, it turned out to be a really bad, stressful situation. I just moved back home with my family last week.
Mm-hmm.
And the day I moved in with my parents, I just, like, I ate. I didn't eat too much, but I just, like, had this sudden urge, like, I had to go throw it up, and I did, and I've been completely, like, just...
Well, are you still in treatment?
No.
When did your treatment stop?
A few months ago.
All right, time to get back in again. It may be just the duration away from treatment that things have finally activated. It may be the stress of whatever sent you back home. It may be being back home has triggered some of these old
symptoms. That's what my question was, because I was really fine. I was doing really well until, like, the day I moved back home.
Well, but again, we don't know. I can't predict which it is. It's suspicious that being back home had something to do with it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's the case.
But back in treatment.
And being back home is like an addict coming back into a recovery environment where the people that were there when he or she was using are still the same as they were, and it kind of pushes you back into that same emotional
state. We got to go to break. Jessica, you've been on hold for 50 minutes. I feel sorry for you. You want to know at what point of the menstrual cycle can the pregnancy occur?
Anytime.
Yeah, but it's most likely
middle,
when you ovulate
18 days.
Between your cycles. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Satisfactory. We'll be back.
Once again, I'm reminded never to question your sense of distances.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know distances, heights, and widths. And depths.
So, yeah.
All right. So it's about 5.5 or 6 yards is Big A originally predicted. We're going to take a little break.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a short 22 hours. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Okay.
I heard they all finished in him and flooded his innards with semen.
Okay.
And he has what's called a floating liver syndrome now.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.